This is Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. I can't tell if it's John or Justin Timberlake. This is TCMG Movie Talk. We talk about movies and theaters. This week, DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. Movies out this week, 10 years ago. And movies out this week, 20 years ago. And always a little bit of Star Wars.
Off to a great start.
And whatever other random Justin Timberlake sounding sounds that these boys make.
We're bringing Nick back.
Hey, your boy Dale is in town, too.
Yeah, I know. Somebody was supposed to try to get me an interview with him.
I tried.
I know you did.
Several times. He doesn't respond to anything.
I know.
We've got John Justice.
Hi.
Nick Zerwas.
What's happening?
Brian Miller.
Yeah.
And Drew Lee.
Where's he? Is there any place he's going to be specifically? Like, is it going to be?
He just said he was at the Justin Timberlake listening party last
night. It's going to be like a Crave across the street, yeah. And I can go get a mac and cheese.
Top 10 liquor on Sunday.
John, what would you do if you were just at a restaurant and then, like, in the booth next to you was Dale Earnhardt?
Oh, I'd absolutely go over there. There's no doubt. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Would you be cool about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know. I wouldn't be. If I was you, I would lose my mind.
No, I mean, I'd be cool about it from the standpoint of I know about him well enough and how he deals with the public that I would know how to handle meeting Dale Jr. to where he would respond appropriately.
Right, if you saw Jodie Foster, you would make a lot of sudden moves or anything. You know, there's some people who don't necessarily invite the attention.
Right.
Some people are fine with it.
Yeah.
You'd be like, Dale, you don't know me, but I know literally everything about you.
He's a very, very humble guy, and, you know, he's cool. He's cool with fans like that. So if he was someplace where I actually could, I probably would go.
Well, we can talk some NASCAR later. Let's talk about movies now. We've got movies in theaters this week. The only movie that is in theaters this week is Winchester.
Do you have the synopsis there, Sam?
I will in just a moment.
It's a horror movie, like a ghost story. I'm kind of annoyed that they went the route they did, and when Sam grabs the synopsis, she'll explain it, because the story behind the Winchester Mystery Mansion, which I've actually been to in San Jose, is really, really fascinating. This is that story, but then they went and they added a bunch of stuff to it, and I think the actual sort of story itself would have been enough.
I agree. It's like, based on a true house.
Wait, what?
True story.
After the sudden death of her family, firearms heiress Sarah Winchester becomes convinced that she's haunted by the souls of those killed by guns.
Oh, God.
Winchester then decides...
That sounds so tedious.
That was this true story, though.
That is, yeah.
Winchester then decides to build an enormous mansion that's designed to keep the evil spirits at bay.
Yep.
When skeptical psychiatrist Eric Price visits the estate to evaluate her state of mind, he soon discovers that her obsession may not be so far-fetched after all.
Yeah, the house is really, really cool. And they do a lot of, like, murder mysteries and stuff in it now. But I've been there. It's a true story. She did do that. You've got stairs that go to nowhere. You have doors that open up and you would just walk. Her whole deal was that she thought that she, to keep the spirits at bay, she had to keep building onto the house. And so that's what she kept doing. I wonder if sort of there was no way to craft this into a marketable movie, because I think she just did it and then she passed away.
Yeah.
So they ended up adding this supernatural element to it, but I don't have any interest in seeing it because of that. I would have liked to have seen just sort of a straight up telling of her story.
Agreed. Now, do they film this at the house? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know. Does it say on there?
I'll try to find that.
You would think, right?
There's so many people that traipse through that because it's a tourist. It's a tourist trap. It would seem really stupid.
I'll try to find
if they
out.
Didn't.
It would be like in the Disaster Artist or in the real filming of The Room when the guy's like, why did we build a fake alley? The alley's right there, you know? It's like, we got the mystery house. Why would we rebuild a fake mystery house?
Yeah. So I haven't heard whether or not it's good on the ghost front. Again, Drew, your house is more of a ghost, a horror movie kind of house. I know you guys talk about it. Any interest in seeing this?
No.
It looks like a bad horror movie.
Like, not at all, really?
I mean, if you had just shown me the trailer and not actually told me much about it, because I saw a couple commercials on TV. It's got Helen Mirren.
Right?
She's amazing. she's stunning in like everything she does. So that's a check in the pro column, you know. And it looks like a spooky horror haunted house kind of movie based on the commercial that I saw. Mm. Check in the pro column. So if that's all I knew about it, yeah, this would probably fall under the list of movies I'd like to see. But now that I've learned more about it and I've seen I've watched the Rotten Tomatoes score fall since the time we started the show from 10% to 5%.
Ouch. Really?
Well, they didn't screen it for critics, so today is like the first time that people can put their reviews out, which is also always a bad sign.
Yeah, yes. It was at 10 when I went there, and then when I clicked on it and the page loaded, it was at 5.
No! Wow.
Yeah. It looks really generic. The trailer looks real generic.
It does.
But it could have been so great.
Yeah.
It looks like, I mean, from what articles I'm finding, it looks like it was filmed at the house.
I would think so.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't.
It's a free ad for the house as a tourist trap.
Yeah, right.
So it says, it was filmed, right, okay. It was filming in San Jose, California, and then also Australia.
Wow.
So
I was going to say, I'm reading an article here that says they had to reconstruct the house for the movie.
I would imagine I bet they probably filmed a lot of the exterior for the actual house. And then when it came to actually filming, it's really, really tight in that house. Mm-hmm. I mean, it probably wasn't conducive for filming and for angles and all that.
Yeah,
so
trying to get all the cameras and the wires and everything.
Yeah.
People
don't
appreciate how much that equipment takes up so much space when you go to like a movie set. It's crazy.
And to get like the right angle and the right frame, they need to be mm-hmm. far back. So that probably wouldn't work if it was really small. I'd be really interested in seeing this movie if I didn't hear how bad it was doing in Rotten Tomatoes. So maybe I'll wait for some more reviews. But I like movies like this. I used to be obsessed with dumb TV shows like Ghost Adventures and stuff. So I like spooky movies like that.
Apparently, I think there was a 1973 documentary about the Winchester Mystery House. So that would have been, maybe check that out instead.
The documentary might actually end up being better.
Yeah.
DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. Only the Brave, A Bad Mom's Christmas, Suburbicon, and then there's also an older film that's being released now on Blu-ray, Benji.
I want to talk Benji in a little bit because we were talking about it during the show, and so there's an interesting sort of thing behind it. But Only the Brave, saw that. It's about the true story of the Granite Mountain hotshots.
Oh,
in,
right.
In Arizona. My mom lives in that region, was there when they did the funeral and was working in Arizona at the time. The movie is really, really good. It is gut-wrenching from the start just because you know what happens. Wow. But it really is an amazing story and an amazingly tragic story, what ends up happening to these guys. Not only that, but what they achieved being the first localized hotshot unit to ever be certified. And then what ends up happening really, and we were talking about this, was it last week? We were talking about these films that are based off of real events. You know, when you look at this one, like Deepwater Horizon.
I was going to ask how it compared to that.
You look at The Patriot. This one far and outweighs my favorite of those genre movies.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I probably going to be the only one to say this, but I'm going to watch Bad Mom's Christmas. Bad Moms was okay.
Yeah, it was funny. I liked
it.
It
was okay.
Yeah. I own it on Blu-ray.
Yeah. No, you do not.
Yeah. Oh. Melinda. Melinda won him. It was a Melinda pick.
I was going to say that. I find that it wasn't that good.
Yeah. When has it being good
I have
ever been a
no expectation of Bad Moms Christmas being good, but it's that kind of sort of just vapid, stupid comedy. That you know what that I can spend a very cold Sunday afternoon waiting for the Super Bowl to start to watch.
What? It seems like one of those movies that is exactly what it tells you it's going to be.
Yeah,
there's something to be said for that. Be it a horror movie, a comedy, whatever, where it's like, yep, that's what it is.
Yep.
No, I'm actually more notably not going to watch one, which is Suburbicon, which on paper sounds really interesting. George Clooney doesn't direct a lot of movies, and it's supposed to be kind of Coen-esque. And I remember seeing the trailer.
It's a Coen Brothers movie. It's
produced by them, I think.
But directed by Clooney. Yeah.
But it looks like really D-grade Coen stuff. Like, it looks really boring.
I heard some really bad things about it.
Yeah.
I'll probably end up watching it at some point. But yeah, I have no expectations for that movie.
Bad Prestige is kind of the worst kind of movie to me. You know, like I love when stuff has ambitious, but this just looks I don't know. It just looks done.
Well, like downsizing. I put that
downsizing looks awful to
me. Same category.
Looks boring as all get out.
Like, ooh, we've got this great idea, but made a really crappy movie out of it.
Yeah.
Nick, you were a big fan of the original Bad Moms. You're going to see Bad Moms.
I thought you were going to say it was a ton of downsizing. Finally, everyone's at my level.
All right. So, my wife really enjoyed Bad Moms. I assume we'll watch Bad Moms Christmas. I think probably first we'll watch the movie about the Hot Shots. Suburbicon looks borderline unwatchable.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it doesn't know if it's a comedy or a dark comedy or like a straight up just violent like story.
Because well, the category that Google has it in is drama thriller.
Okay, yeah. See, I would never. The trailer makes it first seem like it's a comedy, then it goes to like a dark comedy, and then it goes just straight up like this is a movie about murder and death and riots. And then the final scene of the trailer is Matt Damon riding away on a tricycle. So it's back to a comedy.
And also it's like, oh, geez, things aren't as they seem in suburbia. What an incredibly original idea. Like that's kind of been done to death.
Sam, I remember that with Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
Any of these appeal to you?
If I had to pick one out of the group, it would probably be A Bad Mom's Christmas.
Only the Brave, check it out, because Jennifer Connelly plays a horse trainer. And she's the wife to Brolin's lead character.
Okay.
And they actually spend a lot of time with her in the movie. Apart from the story in and of itself, but sort sure. of in something that you could kind of latch onto.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is okay. So in that case, I think only the brave and A Bad Mom's Christmas I could watch. I love Mila Kunis. I love Kristen Bell. What was the first one? Bad Moms or. Whatever.
It's just Bad Moms.
Bad Moms.
There's a lot of bad movies, you know, Bad Teacher, Bad Mom, right. Bad Santa.
Suburbicon looks terrible. I have no interest in seeing that. And it just no interest at all.
Real quick on Benji, okay, and this just stuck out because I remember this as a kid. It came out in 1980, right? And this was, I'm sorry, not Benji, Oh Heavenly Dog. So Oh Heavenly Dog, 1980, Chevy Chase, Jane Seymour, Omar Sharif.
Wow.
Chevy Chase ends up dying and is reincarnated as a dog. He's originally a private detective. The dog that he's reincarnated at is Benji. Now, what's interesting about it is the original Benji came out in 1974.
Yeah.
It was directed and written by Joe Camp. He did Oh Heavenly Dog. So he took the Benji character, made this murder mystery comedy, turned the reincarnated dog into Benji, and then they went on to make other regular Benji movies.
Because there's a Benji in space.
Right.
I remember watching that as a kid.
Right. So that's why I wanted to. Oh, Heavenly Dog was as a kid. I remember it was a very sort of adult comedy, but I remember having it on VHS, and so that's really really weird that they took an original Benji movie, which is just a straight up movie about a dog named Benji, and then they made this other movie where a guy is reincarnated into Benji. So essentially all the sequels are about Chevy Chase.
Oh, interesting.
I wonder
if the dog became a big jerk. Chevy Chase reincarnated.
What I was telling Drew.
The dog is huge.
I want to track down. I haven't seen Oh Heavenly Dog in decades now. And I remember it being really, really funny in an early Chevy Chase movie.
You know what they should have called it? Fetch.
Okay.
Oh. Boom.
Wow. I'm stuck in this pit of just Googling this dog that played Benji now, Higgins.
Right?
This dog is a superstar.
Right?
Yeah. He's like he was seven famous. Films, yeah. TV shows. Yeah. Yeah, lived to be 17. He's got his own Wikipedia page. It's like this whole thing.
Benji was huge back then when we were kids. Yeah.
I mean, that was before my time.
Back when children's entertainment was a little cheaper and easier to make.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, remember this dog? Yeah. We're going to film him for another hour and a half.
Before we can make him talk.
We followed a dog around with a camera and added some music. Yeah. Give me $5.
I want a dog that makes me that much money. movies out this week. 10 years ago, The Eye and Strange Wilderness.
Ooh, The Eye.
I don't know The Eye.
I think I remember The Eye.
I will mention Strange Wilderness. Steve Vaughn. Mm-hmm. Steve Zane. Mm-hmm. Zahn. Justin Long. Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill, that's who was in it. Yeah.
And under the Adam Sandler Happy Madison banner, really incredibly stupid but funny comedy that just didn't get any attention at all. So if you just, you want something dumb to watch and wipe out on, Strange Wilderness. I love Steve Zahn. He doesn't do nearly enough.
Isn't he a Minnesota guy?
Is he?
I was thinking he was.
Steve Zahn?
Yeah.
Let's find out.
He did the voice of, I know you didn't like it, but he did the voice of the,
oh, he was born in March.
In Planet of the Apes.
He was great in that.
The ape they find.
Yes, I thought he was the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
Well, there was things about that movie I liked, but yeah, he's great. He's so good in that thing you do.
Yeah, yes.
And a great, people really overlooked that show Tremé, that HBO show about New Orleans. Really, really great show.
I heard it's really
amazing
good.
Music. Yeah. And Steve Zahn plays this like really lovable DJ who just kind of drifts around and connects all the other characters. Yeah. And you just can't not love the guy. He's great.
And one of the funniest, not funniest, but one of the most interesting Friends episodes where we find out that he was married to Phoebe. He was an ice dancer who was pretending to be gay, but it was really straight.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Saving Silverman.
Oh, yeah. Saving Silverman, too. Yeah.
That Thing You Do.
Oh, he's so good. That's a great movie, and he's great in it.
He's fantastic.
I need to do a fan club and join the fan club. He's funny.
Oh, yeah. I'm all on board with Steve Zahn.
And join it.
Oh, boy. My wife has a little bit of a Steve Zahn crush, and I'm like, you know what? I stand behind that.
I will
that
allow
is fair
it.
Enough.
You have good taste.
Yes, exactly.
Clearly. I remember The Eye. The Eye was horrible.
Was that Halle Berry?
No, Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba. My sister was in a movie called Eyes of a Killer with not Costas Mandalore, but... his brother, Louis Mandalore, and Costas Mandalore made a very brief appearance. My sister was the main character in Eyes of a Killer. You can look it up. Gwendolyn Edwards is my sister. And The Eye was basically the exact same plot as Eyes of a Killer.
Yeah, the woman receives an eye transplant and can see into the supernatural world. It's got a really great poster.
Yes.
Like the poster with the little fingers coming out of the eye. It's got a badass poster. But yeah, we watched this movie because this was at the age when my kids decided that they like scary movies.
Oh, sure.
So the challenge was to find PG-13 scary movies.
That Jessica Alba was in, hopefully.
Gave it another. I was mentioning the check marks in the pro column. Yeah. Jessica Alba is a check mark.
Uh-huh.
But it's horrible. Oh my God, it's bad.
Yeah, it was
really bad. Really, really bad.
The eye is?
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. You should watch it.
You just talked about it like it was great.
It's terrible.
Yeah, my sister was in two movies.
Why
where
did I watch it?
She was in two movies where like another
really
movie
bad.
Came out that was exactly the same, and it was this one, and then she was in a Civil War movie that was very similar to Cold Mountain, and then when The Eye came out, she's like, another movie came out, and I was like, I don't think this one's going to be a lot of competition. I think you're going to do all right.
Nick, Strange Wilderness?
Pass.
Good call. Well, I haven't seen Strange Wilderness. I've heard of that series pretty good.
Movies that were out this week 20 years ago. Deep Rising.
Little name drop here. So, Deep Rising.
Right.
Okay, you had Leviathan.
That's a perfect John Justice movie,
by the way. Oh, in more ways than one.
But why? Yeah.
Is this Kurt Russell?
No. Hold on. So you had Leviathan that had the guy from RoboCop, Peter Weller.
Peter Weller, yeah.
You also had Deep Star 6.
Yes.
Okay.
And The Abyss, kind of similarly advertised.
Right, run on the same lines. Deep Rising, Treat Williams.
Treat Williams, thank you, yes.
My brother did all the special effects work on this monstrosity.
Oh.
Yeah, so at his workshop, he has all of, he's got all kinds of different model work and stuff from Deep Rising and horrible film. Do you have the synopsis for Deep Rising?
I sure do.
I don't even remember this at all.
I remember in the trailer, there's a lot of Treat Williams on a jet ski riding through fire.
It's on the poster.
Yeah.
On the poster?
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Deep Rising?
Yeah, well, on one of the posters.
Yeah,
the poster is a really bad looking explosion over some water. And then Treat Williams and a woman on a jet ski.
Yeah.
He's riding away from it.
There's like a bunch of different posters for it because there's another one where it looks like a lady's being smothered by saran wrap.
That was just somebody who saw the movie and was trying to end it.
Oh. 35 minutes into the movie.
So what's the synopsis?
A newly unveiled ocean liner, the Argonautica, sets out on its first cruise only to encounter dangers both on board and in ocean depths. While the beautiful thief Trillian attempts to steal riches from the boat's wealthy passengers, the ship encounters major problems, most notably a giant murderous sea creature with tentacles.
Ooh. Yep.
Eventually, a boat captained by John Finnegan comes across the Argonautica, and everyone struggles to survive the monster.
How did this get made?
This movie had a budget. They spent $45 million. They made in the box office $11 million.
Well, this was one of those ones where you had Volcano and Dante's Peak, and then you had
Armageddon, Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. This was along the same lines. It was another underwater monster movie, and there was those three. It was Deep Star 6, Leviathan, and then Deep Rising. Leviathan was probably the most notable of the three. Yeah. This movie's horrible. I remember I liked it because my brother worked on it, but it was a hodgepodge of bad CGI and model work.
What was the movie where, I think it was a remake, where the ship capsized?
Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure. That was a terrible movie.
Oh, it's a terrible remake, yeah. But I remember this movie coming out, but there was a time when Treat Williams and Howie Long, Hollywood was all in on making those two guys action stars, and I don't think anyone at any point in time was buying into that. Yeah.
Luckily, now we have The Rock.
And it's like similar with The Eye. It's like Hollywood was intent on Jessica Alba, you know, being like an A-listing leading actress. She wasn't that good.
No, she's just not a freaking actress.
It's not good.
Well, we got a few minutes left. Shockingly, let's talk Star Wars. Quick question. We're gonna get a trailer Monday. Finally, they're gonna start the promotional campaign for all of this. They waited
confirmed?
For the yes. We're getting a trailer. Good morning. They're getting a 30-second Super Bowl spot. And teasing that Good Morning America on Monday we'll have the full trailer, and then it'll be game on.
So we're gonna have to take
Solo.
A break on Monday when the trailer releases.
Monday, oh my gosh, you're right. I know.
It's gonna come out during the show.
I know. That's gonna okay.
Will your world end if you don't watch it live?
No. It won't end. What do you guys? What are you hoping to see? I want to throw out a quick because I want to get it documented because I have a theory. But what are you hoping to see? Any expectations at all for this film?
I don't care. I'm already sold on it. I don't need a trailer. I'm gonna go see it.
If they just didn't do any trailers,
I would go see it anyway. It's not gonna impact my ability to enjoy the movie or my anticipation or anything.
Let me approach it differently. What do you think they need to do? Because you're not. They have to get a general audience to go. There's a lot of controversy around The Last Jedi. You've got somebody playing an iconic character who doesn't really look like Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. What do you think they need to do? What's the trailer need to do to get to win over the general audience?
Give us something that we're not expecting. You know what I mean? Like tease us that something's going to happen in this movie that you're not necessarily expecting. Right, because I think somebody hears there's a Han Solo movie. It's like okay, and they'll kind of work out what that movie's probably going to be like in their head. But throw something at us that we may or may not expect. I don't know what that would be. Maybe the Kessel Run is enough. I don't know.
Brian,
I think it's going to be a lot of fan service in this trailer. I think they're going to be on. I think after The Last Jedi, which I liked a lot,
right?
I think they're going to be on like, huh? You recognize this thing and that thing?
Bobo will make an appearance.
Yeah, Chewbacca and all that. Now this one, I just have no interest in Solo.
Young Jabba.
Yeah, now, as much as I'm super interested in the next trilogy installment, but I don't have any. I'm not a prequel guy. I don't like prequels for almost anything. Because I just think it's the limitations of a prequel are kind of boring to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about the new story forward.
Any interest at all, Nick Zerwas? Don't care.
Pass.
Now, Sam, what I think is interesting for your generation is I wonder. Here, let me tell you what I think they have to do, but how it doesn't really. I don't think that it matters for people like you. I think the trailer, Alden Ehrenreich has to speak, and the audience has to immediately be sold. That they buy him as Han Solo.
Sure.
The trailer has to do that.
I would agree with that. But at the same time, I'm going to see it and I'm going to love it. And it's not really going to matter either way. I think that this is, I kind of feel, I mean, I don't know. Is this going to end up being kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy-esque?
I think
just
so.
Just like space cowboy fun explosions and stuff.
I'm cool with that.
I'm
totally cool with that. I think it'd be awesome.
I've got to super
clarify one thing real quick.
Yeah.
I said the trailer won't impact my anticipation whatsoever. Let me rephrase that. The trailer won't lessen my anticipation whatsoever, but it could do something to increase it.
Sure.
I got a quick theory. Kasdan wrote Force Awakens with J.J. Abrams. Kasdan wrote Solo before The Force Awakens. Snoke ends up being the big baddie in the movie.
Oh. I like it.
I would be interested in that.
I'd be down.
I dig it.
I still wouldn't care.
Boom.
John, you're so pleased with your
story. I am. Just because I want to be right.
This was TCNT Movie Talk on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130-1035 FM. We talk about movies and stuff and Star Wars every single week, so tune in again next week.